Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
It's going down. H-Town. Howard Clark. Beast Scott.
To pick or not, that is the question. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Brandon Scott, Figgy Fig here. It is round one. Unlike recent years, Texans don't have a pick in round one. Matter of fact, they've had two the last two. B. Scott, though, doesn't think it's going to remain at zero. You think it's going to creep up closer to two? Are you feeling a trade?
They don't have a pick yet. They don't have a pick right now. But I would be surprised if by the end of the day, or by the time we got through with this first round, if Nick Caseri, if we didn't hear some news about the Texans. I feel like there's way too much smoke for it. We've paid attention to the insiders. Diana Rossini, there have been others that have hinted at this, that the Texans have kind of been working towards something, or at least looking towards something. So I feel like we're at a spot where if Nick Caseri, if the Texans do not trade their way back into the first round, it will not be for a lack of trying. And this is the part of it that is exciting for me, because going into this, I was like, oh, day one's going to be relaxed for Texans observers, media, fans, because there's no pick. And there's not really much of a motivation to go up and get something, because you've already got your foundation. You've already done all these things that you've done in free agency and the trades that you made in the offseason. There's not this desperation to go up and get a player. So, you know, logically speaking, it's like, okay, so you're fine. But that's not necessarily how Nick Caserio is wired. It's not even about desperation. Or Lopez, I heard you mention earlier emotion. He doesn't get emotionally attached to players. That's true, but he also is not emotionally attached to 2 second-round picks or picking the way the draft is slotted for them to pick right now. Like, he's not really attached to anything.
Yeah.
So, like, if he sees a player, or if he knows something, a guy's going to slip, and that's the big thing about this draft, who's going to slip and what team likes that player or likes those players? And I think the Texans could fall into that group.
I'm curious if he has, like, someone in mind already.
Right.
In mind already. Or if he's just like what you're talking about. Let's see if either of these guys start to fall. Because he thinks too logically. You know, right. He plans too much. And then the other option is what Landry mentioned. Maybe D'Amico says, I really like this guy. I want this guy.
Oh, I mean, it's not happening. Yeah. It's not happening without D'Amico's not only blessing but encouragement.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's no way it happens if D'Amico's even lukewarm on it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it can be Nick's idea even, but D'Amico's got to be, like, passionately into it for it to actually happen.
Mm-hmm. I wonder who can all step to D'Amico in this point. And I'm not sitting there saying there's going to be, like, some fist fight and it's Bill O'Brien versus Jack Easterby or Bill O'Brien versus Rick Smith, but let's say that Bobby Slowick is really adamant that this guy can help our offense and D'Amico feels like this guy can help the defense. Like, how much can Bobby Slowick step to him?
Yeah.
And I know that goes back to Nick Caserio talking about being the moderator and the point guard type to where he generates it. But I do wonder, like, how aggressive is Bobby going to be? Or is it just, you know, D'Amico's the one that controls the aggressiveness or the willingness to pick up the phone and actually put a plan into practice?
Yeah, no, I think it's D'Amico that's setting the tone, but like, D'Amico's a collaborator in nature. Like, that's kind of what he's been. Now, I think he also has a leadership aspect to him to where he's going to command the respect and ultimately be the decision maker. But, like, I don't think Bobby Slowick's somewhere in a corner, like, just kind of shy or not willing to speak up or let his voice be heard with D'Amico or Nick Caserio.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think in some ways, D'Amico might even be the moderator, like listening to everybody and then ultimately being the one to make the decisions.
One thing about D'Amico that we've already learned, he's approachable and he's open-minded. Like, so it's not, I don't think anybody out there is going to be, you know, worried about saying, I really like this guy, knowing that he's going to absorb that information and maybe side with you. I mean, just look at the coaches that he hired. He didn't just go with all his guys. I mean, he interviewed a lot of guys, came from different organizations and brought them in. I think he's very open-minded. So if somebody comes to him and says, this is what I think, then he'll be very open-minded and take it to Nick.
But also, look what he comes from. You know, I think we don't want to overplay the whole San Francisco thing. I know it's been there's a lot of talk about the whole Shanahan thing, but I think there's some value in referencing that. Like, D'Amico's voice was heard when he was a coordinator, when he was a lesser coach coming up in San Francisco. He was respected, and that, you know, eventually catapults him into the position that he's in now. So I think he understands the value in that, not being that far removed from that experience. Bobby Slowick is similarly situated to where D'Amico was just a couple of years ago. And I think you should keep in mind that Bobby Slowick was brought back after having some opportunity, some interest elsewhere, and was given a raise. I think it would only make sense for him.
He's got more power.
He should, or at least more of a voice. I think the power ultimately lands with D'Amico. Like, we shouldn't get that twisted or confused. It's D'Amico, but D'Amico is not out there, you know, ruling with an iron fist, I don't think. I think he's taking in the information from the smart people. That's important. Like, these aren't just schmucks or yes men or just people that are there just to take up space. Bobby Slowick's supposed to provide some value. Nick Caserio provides value. Their opinions are supposed to matter, right? Mm-hmm. So I think D'Amico's taking all of that in.
The other thing I wonder is, oftentimes when your season ends in disappointing fashion, and especially if you get your ass kicked as bad as the Texans got their ass kicked, the final game of the year, sometimes there's like a lesson. Like, there's a theme, and it's like, okay, this team isn't tough. This team needs a big play wide receiver. This team needs a better offensive line. What lesson? Like, if D'Amico they could just wipe the slate clean and say it has nothing to do with anything. But if you look at the way that they lost to Baltimore, like, what exactly is the lesson there? Where you said, okay, we can't let this happen again.
Well, so, you know, my first piece of commentary after the game was that they needed more weapons, and so they addressed that. They did address that, and I think that's also a reason why, you know, we've all been encouraging of them going out and getting either a wide receiver, a tight end, and Landry's a running back, right? Like, we've talked about that, I feel like, ad nauseum, and it was pretty clear that they needed that they needed more weapons despite the breakout season that Nico Collins had and the encouragement that you had from Tank Dell in his rookie year. You felt like you still needed that. But underrated from it, and we learned this through the course of the offseason, I think, was the defensive line. Like, not even just in the Baltimore game, but I went back and watched. I don't want to say it, went back and watched NFL Network.
Wow. Look at you, tape guy.
No. NFL Network.
B. Scott
aired
all 22.
I was on the TV guide.
Deuce.
Your boy ain't gonna. I'm not gonna ever lie to you. All right, I'm on the TV guide, and it says, "Oh, Texans Colts." Yeah. That final week, you know, we watched that at the bar. So I was at home. Yeah. So I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna check this out."
Yeah.
And I noticed, you know, the defensive line had some issues at times. You know,
I know, like, you're watching the same film I watched. Come on now.
I wasn't breaking it down in that way, but I did get a second look at it. So I think underrated toward the end of the season was perhaps D'Amico Ryans wanting more from his defensive line. We saw that in them upgrading with Danielle Hunter, them basically saying, hey, these defensive tackles, we don't need them. You know, I know they tried to get Sheldon Rankins back, but they traded Malik Collins away for nothing. And so, I mean, if they trade up,
do they even have enough to trade up? Like, how far up can they go?
But see,
you know,
I mean, both seconds, and then maybe even
it would be both
another
second.
Third. They seem to want to trade draft picks next year. It seems to be kind of their thing.
Yeah, I'm more interested in how far up they want to go. You know, like, because, you know, it shouldn't take much to get to the back end of the second of the first round.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Like, you should be able to do that.
No, it's 10 spots.
Yeah.
You might be a two and a three something like that.
So that's doable. And I feel like that might be what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Right. So,
but I also think that the problem that I think that there is with them, with where the Texans are, is it's almost going to have to be before 30, because when you start looking at Baltimore, San Francisco, and Kansas City, like, they need some guys on rookie contracts.
That's a good
point. They also can kind of, like, fill in accordingly, because the mock draft that I saw with Schrager, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, this is just so ideal. I saw Baltimore got Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yep, I saw it. Yep.
And then Kansas City, I forget who Kansas City ends up getting, but
Adonai Mitchell.
I think San Fran got Adonai Mitchell.
So, I think Kansas City got a
you're
tackle.
Talking Schrager. I'm looking at Dane Brugler.
Yeah.
My bad.
But Adonai Mitchell goes to San Francisco, and then Baltimore just says, okay, we'll take Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yeah.
And you want to try to find guys who are on rookie deals, especially with how expensive those guys are. So that's the other awkward thing about trading back in is.
Yeah. So I think with each pick, and this is why it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
With each pick, you got to ask yourself, like, just do the intellectual exercise that Landry literally just did. What is this team's motivation for trading out of this pick?
And trading with you, because that's right. The other thing. When you're the Texans, like, it's one thing to be trading back in when everybody just thinks that you're just a wart on the butt of the league and you have nothing to do with it. But, like, if you're drafting, like, let's say you're drafting from 23 to 32, which is where the Texans were. If you're an AFC team, and I know Buffalo just traded Stephon Diggs to him, and then there were other factors, yeah, but
I was going to bring that up.
If you're looking at the Texans as a team that's knocking on the tier, and I don't know that this should be the end-all be-all if you're getting appropriate draft comp, but if you're a team like Kansas City, Baltimore, any of these other playoff teams, why do you want to make the Texans better?
Yeah.
In this situation with where they are, it might be a little bit harder to trade back into the first round too.
I thought the same thing when Buffalo traded Stephon Diggs.
I did too.
And so that's going to be the fun part about it though, because like you can ask that question on the front end, and then if they do it, like that's a clear criticism. Like, hey, why are you making the Texans better? Mm-hmm. Or what? To me, that could simply come down to, though, a difference of how they view the players. Like, and we talked about this, man.
And worrying about themselves.
Well, yeah, but also they're just not being a consensus on the value of the players, yeah, especially once you get to that part of the draft.
Yeah.
There does seem to be a consensus about, like, the first 10 to 12 to 15 picks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get into the spot that we're talking about, I don't think everybody agrees.
Never.
It's also why I'm perfectly fine with them not trading up. Like, I'm actually good with sitting back and them not doing this, but I know Nick Caserio's wired a little bit differently.
We also have to realize that this is Lion season. Like, it's still Lion season right now. It could be
even
just,
today?
Yes.
It is. It is, but that's why Lopez, and good thing that we got three journalists sitting up here. That's why it's important to, this is kind of like the equivalent of following the money. Follow the receipts. Nick Caserio is prone to do this. We're not just basing this off of conjecture. This is like evidence, receipts. What was the stat that you had, Landry, that Stoops had about
18
how many?
18 of 23 they have selected.
No, I agree with that.
18 of 23.
So I mean that supports the theory right there.
No, he's always moved. He's moved up for a player 11 times. We talked about that as well. No, I get all that. What I'm saying though is he runs one of the tightest ships in the league. Like, stuff does not get out.
Well, but to that point.
But for something to get out Diane Rossini, it might just be, hey, look, maybe we're trying to kick the tires here a little bit.
It's a breadcrumb. You know what hasn't gotten out? So that's gotten out, right?
Yeah.
You know what hasn't gotten out? Who they might be interested in?
No, of course.
I'd love to be able to sit here and tell you that. I'd love to be able to bring that to my weekly segment.
Yeah.
But that hasn't gotten out. Like, we've been around the Texans.
No,
we
don't even know what position.
Yeah.
No.
Wish I did. We just know that they got a frisky GM, and that the GM's being frisky.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not he's going to be able to make something happen.
You think Nick Caserio has ever been called frisky, or you think that's a first?
He just was.
Oh, only in the draft?
I mean, you just you called Nick Caserio frisky.
In the draft, not that kind of frisky.
In the draft, for sure.
Yeah.
What did we ask last week? Has he ever had a cigarette or does he drink?
Has he ever had a cig? Yeah.
Nah, no chance. But frisky in the draft? That's his sig. Making a draft day trade. Man, I couldn't imagine being as active as Nick Caserio is on draft day and not like ending the night with like a smoke or a drink or something.
I bet you'd have to wind down. I bet you'll have the occasional wine, right? Or
no.
Hey, man. That actually
too much sugar, man.
I'd have to have something stronger than that.
He doesn't. Yeah, maybe bourbon.
He might take a tequila, just in the glass and gag.
Yeah.
The guy who takes the shot, they got the weasel who takes the shot and they're like, yeah.
He does it like he make a down. Face like, ooh, like this is disgusting.
Look, he's
do you have a water?
He's going to be very healthy. So not a lot of anything, but yeah, maybe like a good bourbon.
You think he's had a beer?
He might just get a P90X workout in.
He's still had beer.
What's Nick Casario's beer?
He probably get a protein
like when
shake.
When he was in college,
Michelob Ultra.
Michelob Ultra for sure.
When he was in college, he had to have had beer.
Oh, he's Mick Ultra.
Yeah. Mick Ultra for sure. If yeah. he if he drinks a beer.
Yeah.
It's Mick Ultra. It's vodka soda.
Yeah. But will he be popping bottles
vodka
tonight?
Vodka water.
No lime.
That's what no, not tonight.
No, he's not no, going to not bed tonight. Yeah. He's got work to do.
Yeah.
He's going to be chilling.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
But all this stuff, and it's all over now. Hey, Texans, if they do move into the first round, man, don't forget, the only thing that doesn't lie is the draft, and I think anything that Diana Russini got, there was a reason she got it. You know? Maybe they will end up trading back into the first round, but it's because he's trying to float that little balloon out there to see if anything happens.
Play a little possum?
Yeah, playing possum.
Yeah. Could be.
He runs a tight ship.
I think that it's going to be a legitimate effort to try to get up there.
Yeah,
I do think he's going to try it. Now, again, it's going to come down to, hey, why would I trade with you? Or why would I give, I don't want to be picking twice in the second round. I want this pick. You know, the same motivations for you wanting to trade up to get this pick are the motivations for me not wanting to give it to you. I can see that being the reason why it doesn't happen. But like I said at the top, I don't think it's going to be for a lack of trying. I don't.
So you think he's going in here on the attack?
I think he is.
I think they're going in there chilling.
Nah, I think he's on the attack until. See, I think he's chilling if it doesn't work. Like, I don't think he's like, oh my God, I couldn't trade into the first round. Now what am I going to do? If it works out to where they're picking at 42, I think at that point he is chilling. He's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that.
How many phone calls you think he gonna make today?
Oh my god!
All over
just
the
to
place.
Call teams like, hey, what's up? What you doing with 23?
That'd be an interesting.
Or what you doing at 28?
See, you think he's going in aggressive? You think he's chilling? I'm actually in between. I think that was a balloon. That was a test balloon he floated with Russini and whomever else, because it's getting a lot of traction.
You
now.
Might be on it,
and he's
be a test.
He's going to see. Maybe somebody will call him and say, you know what? We're not tied to number 20, whatever.
He's going
to
call
maybe it's Minnesota again.
He's going to call some teams from 25 to 32. He's going to call and see what's up.
I just don't feel like he can help himself.
No.
Right?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like when I said frisky earlier, that's what I'm talking about. I feel like this is his bag. This is his thing. And we know he's – you talk about the emotion.
Yeah.
He ain't emotionally tied to no pick, no player, no scenario.
Yeah.
So, like, he does not feel, you know?
He does not
the man
feel.
Don't feel. Not here.
I call them robotic, but in a good way.
No, I think he's a human being, like, legitimately. But, like, in this scenario, the man don't feel.
Yeah.
So, he's just going to be calling. And, like, I don't think he's going to be calling frantically. But, yeah, he'll be working the phones. They'll be doing their due diligence,
so
as
you
might say.
To move back 19, you got the second. So to move up 19, you'd probably have to give up two twos. Like, so if you wanted to move back into the 23 range.
Yeah, it's probably two twos. That's probably it.
Two twos.
Do it.
And then if you want to, if it goes a little bit further back, then who knows? I don't. So final answer, do you think he trades today?
Yes.
No.
I don't either.
No.
I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't even think he brings the phone in.
Oh, come on. He's bringing the phone in.
No, he's bringing the phone in.
I think it's going to be unplugged.
He's going to make some calls.
He's definitely
putting him on the table
unplugged.
A little bit actually saying it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But
unplugged, man.
I think it's a fact he's bringing
in
the
phone. He's going to call and try to find a sucker, man.
It's unplugged.
He's going to try to find a sucker.
There's not that phone's unplugged, man.
Biggie's on it. He's going to try. You don't think that Nick Casario's looking for a mark?
Of course.
Yes, 100%.
This is what he does.
It's Nick Casario. He ain't going to budge.
And even if we don't agree with the move, even if we don't actually think that it's a mark, in his mind, hey, I think I'm on to something here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick, he ain't going to get fleeced. So we ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah.
He looking for a sucker.
It's a good way to put it.
Draft day suckers. who are the draft day suckers today?
The Cardinals. You got to call the Cardinals because you've already talked to them before, and they think they're – I mean, they just think they're so
I was going
to
say the Austin Browns, Fort but they ain't got no pick.
Austin Fort thinks that he is
– he's the gift.
He thinks he's the gift.
I made the trade.
Yeah.
I made a six-way trade, and I moved up two spots.
Job, Weasel.
Yeah, who
Raiders.
Are? Austin Fort and probably the Bears GM are probably the most –
Poles thinks he is the man.
Oh,
dude.
Man. Poles
Good
thinks
Lord.
He is, like – King, you know what?
Goodness.
Yeah.
Jeez.
God's gift to the football executive world.
That's done nothing. He's got like Browns vibes. Like when the Browns are playing Moneyball and getting all these picks and stuff, it's like, we got to do something with him, buddy.
Hey, today's about to be a good day, though. Talk about Caleb. Whatever y'all want to say about Caleb Williams crying and pink nails, Duke can play. They are up.
No, it's the best situation that a number one overall pick's ever gone into.
Oh, yeah.
They're up. He's up. They're up.
Yeah.
For sure.
We'll see how up, though. Be interesting.
Apparently, salute, he said he's not going to wear heels salute to the draft tonight.
Heels?
Apparently,
Prince.
Yeah, he said he was not going to wear heels.
Someone said,
I was like, okay, good.
Did you see that report said that he was like Prince at quarterback? Yeah, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, no idea.
I kind of get it.
Who reported this? This was JPA Football put it out there. What the hell does that mean?
Prince? Somebody anonymous said, GM.
Somebody said it on a podcast.
Is that what it was?
Because that's what happened. That's how we aggregate.
GM.
Well, yeah. Somebody quoted an anonymous GM on a podcast.
And then shame on me for not looking, but it was something like, if you listen to the full quote, it makes sense. No, I don't know about that, man.
Yeah.
Like, Prince? What are you talking about?
It's kind of a joke. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Paints fingernails, test your notions of masculinity. I understand where they're going.
Yeah. Coming up, dream and nightmare scenarios that impact the Houston Texans. Let's take a closer look at this thing. The draft, which is a few hours away through the localized lenses, would be Scott next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
What's the nightmare look like for the Texans tonight? What is a bad day one for the Houston Texans look like? Brandon Scott in the building, Landry Locker, John Lopez with you. What does it look like?
If they trade up into the first round, like I predicted they will, okay? If they do that and it's for one of these luxury positions,
mm-hmm.
or let's just call it even a non-position of need. Like, I do feel like that changes the calculus a little bit on what they should be targeting if they trade back up into the first round. Like, I'm cool with it if they do it. But if they do it, say, for one of these receivers, which I could understand them doing that.
Yeah.
But I'd be disappointed with that sort of resource allocation. Given what you've already done to address the receiver position, I do feel like you could stand to address it more, but there's an opportunity to do that now, I think, in the second round. So I feel like to get a little gluttonous with positions of strength mm-hmm. or luxury positions.
What
I think
strength, man?
Places where, in the receiver case specifically, where you
so,
don't,
so you,
I don't think
are,
you need
you planning
a premium.
You're planning on like the organization leaving, like is the team leaving in a year? They're going to need receivers next year.
They have four guys on the final year of their deal.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
I'm not against drafting a receiver. I just feel like moving up, given the fact that you've already addressed it and the fact that you can get some, even with that second round pick, you can still get a good receiver. So I'd be a little bit disappointed if they made an effort to, hey, let's forfeit these two picks to go up and get a receiver as opposed to picking one at the back end of the second round.
Mine is similar, Landry, to his. Everything they've done this year, everything this offseason, has been in win-now mode. So I get drafting a receiver for the future and for security and getting a rookie contract behind these guys that are going to be free agents. I get drafting maybe an offensive lineman, to be honest. You know, somewhere
that would be disappointing. But I would get it.
Because it doesn't fit with what their philosophy has been the entire offseason. Their philosophy this offseason is win now, win now, win now. Stephon Diggs, you know, all Danielle Hunter, all these guys, you know, accumulating picks. So I want, if it's anyone but other than a win now player, that's why I keep going back to the same thing. I have no intel on this. Linebacker would be a win now draft pick. Linebacker would be a win now draft pick because that's the only place they have left where there's the least amount of depth.
That would also make sense. I wouldn't be excited about it,
right?
But to me, It would not make sense to trade up into the first round to get something. Like, you're doing that to go get something that you can't get in the second round.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole reason for doing it. You're moving up to go get something that you can't get in the second round. And I feel like maybe linebacker fits into that, or really more so I'm looking at cornerback. Like, you're looking at the at defensive tackle. What are the positions or, like, the players? Think about it.
What's up, Ross Blacklock?
What can you not
this
get?
This is the exact.
Let's just
roll tape on 2020 draft.
No, Landry, this is the
this
point.
This is what we're doing. This is the exact 2020 point. Draft. No first round pick, corner, defensive lineman, Ross Blacklock.
But I'm talking about trying to go get a player that you definitely think is better
than
that.
Well, what's your nightmare?
Because look, that's the difference between picking a defensive tackle at 42. That sounds like Ross Blacklock. Moving up to get one that's a first round pick or that has a first round grade or that you have a first round grade on is an entirely different thing. So I would be down with that.
The D lineman that I like, I like Jenkins and I like Hall. That's it. But I don't even necessarily want those with the
Hall,
with the first
Ohio
second.
State. Yes, yeah, okay, Hall. Yeah, oh yeah.
I like those two guys. This Fisk is my nightmare.
Really?
I don't like him.
I don't understand that.
Why don't you like
I'm
Fisk?
I'm not crazy high on him, but
I don't know, man, but it also seems like every time I'm down on a white D lineman he ends up being good.
Yeah.
I'm take not it for what it's worth. I wouldn't have Carl off this guy either and yeah if they would have taken him instead of Kenyon Green, I might have been okay. I might have been happy. Yeah. So There is just that kind of. I don't know, man. I'm six years college, man. Come on. And I heard him talking. He just sounds really bro-y.
The 6 years of college is a drawback. Like he's like, a year older than C.J. Stroud, maybe two. So
he's at least a year. 2 years older.
I would be cool with drafting him. I wouldn't want to trade up
D lineman.
No,
I don't want
like
D lineman. I don't want a D lineman just to take a D lineman. I'm not there.
That kind of ties in with my whole draft philosophy for the tech, whatever you want to call it. Like, I'm looking at their two deep right now. I'm like, look at the guys that they brought in. Stephon Diggs, that's win now. Joe Mixon, that's win now. All these defensive tackles, no matter what you think of them, you know, Danico Autry, Danielle Hunter, Al-Shaair. Like, they are, Okuda could be argued.
Yeah.
You know?
But
so if they draft like a wide receiver that they can develop, I'll be disappointed. They need a linebacker to bolster that defense.
Yeah, obviously trading up though is going to say a lot about what they think about the player.
Sure.
So, I mean, you know what? We're obviously allowed to disagree. Be like, man, I don't know about that. But that is going to be like a bold, just like trading up for Will. That's a bold statement. Hey, we think this guy is this.
Here's my motto: screw swarm. I want to score. Okay, like enough of this swarm crap. Okay,
score.
Like okay, y'all.
Hey, don't talk defense. Bad about swarm. It got him a lot.
Score, 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 score points. Quit settling for field goals. Yeah. Put it in the end zone. Don't get to a position to where you only have one running back that you trust. Don't get to a position to where one injury at wide receiver ends you to where you have no puncher's chance. Score, please. Yeah. Just let's score some points. Goodness gracious.
Well, they've added to it.
I'm not mad at that.
I want more.
I'm not mad at that. I do think it would, don't you think it would be weird of all of this moving around and just to move up and get another wide receiver?
Yes.
When the wide receiver position is one of the positions of strength, not just on within the draft, but also on your team, like on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Within the draft itself, you've got wide receiver depth, which indicates there should be
which
one.
Which seems like it's every year now, doesn't it?
So it's a good time to be picking in the second round if you want to go get a wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know,
that does seem to be a theme where wide receiver just every year is.
That's because the college offenses, we've seen them. We know how it is.
Man.
Yeah.
You got me thinking now about linebacker Lopez.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I've been saying it for a while.
I'm more down with that than D-line. I don't care about your three-tech.
There are players there that have been linked and that make sense for them to go pick. I haven't had a linebacker.
These
in
are
mind.
Their starting linebackers if you believe depth charts in the offseason. Obviously, they have Christian Harris. We like him. Al-Shaair, they brought him in because what? They want to win now.
Yep.
And then To'o or Jake Hansen?
They like Tua.
Well,
Alabama guy.
Yeah. He's he's an Alabama guy for sure.
Yeah,
just like Forrest Gump. I think Forrest Gump. I think Forrest Gump might have run better than Toto.
Hey, they could use
before the braces came off.
You playing? They could use a a burner like that.
Nah, he runs like Forrest Gump with the braces, not without, with the braces.
With his legs still straight.
Yes,
yeah. Not bending his knees.
Toto in coverage looks like Forrest before that kid hit him with the rock running. That's what he looks like when he's in coverage. Let's be serious.
Toa and Xavier Hutchinson are tight. I want to. Their camp will be interesting.
You know something that nobody's talking about? What if J.J. Watt's coming back, and that's why he's squatting and doing all these squats and stuff, and they don't need to worry about D-linemen. They got J.J. back.
He needed a full offseason to see it. Needed to be sold on the direction. JJ's coming back.
Ah. And Danielle Hunter knew it. That's why he didn't take 99, because he knew that J.J. was coming back. Well, then why is J.J. putting pictures of himself squatting up? Like, come on.
No.
What are we doing? Move on.
He is JJ.
Well, okay, work out.
He's a hard ass.
That's the thing, though. We know he's JJ. It's
work
like,
out.
Oh, JJ Watt lifting weights.
JJ, I like the pictures of your kids. I like the pictures of the soccer. I like the pictures of you on the golf course. I like all this stuff. Move on from just doing, like, I got 10 45s on each side doing a squat. Like, grow up. If you're not going to play, don't be putting up pictures
maybe he just
like
likes
that.
To work out.
Come on, man. Like, I don't need any more of this JJ Watt squat
milk
rack.
Bottle of water going on.
Come on, man. Stuff. Like, put the kid looking at you lift weights or something like that. I want first day of school vibes from JJ Watt at this point, not Hardo in the gym singing Fort Minor vibes.
Yeah.
Dude, that would be so front runner though if he came back.
Oh come on. You wouldn't embrace
it? Oh, I'd embrace it, but it would also be I would of course embrace it, but it would be front runner. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. You've been gone a year. Living good. You're going to come back. He's not going to have to work a lot. He won't have to work nearly as much as he did in 2020 whatever he was here last.
What are we doing?
Nah, he's a situational guy.
Fair enough, Lopez.
J.J. Watt, situational guy, fresh. J.J., see quarterback, get quarterback.
And we reached that
point. You're not a three-down guy anymore. So we have Will Anderson on one side. We have Danielle Hunter on the other. Danico Autry and J.J. Watt inside, 3rd and 12. Ooh. Who says no?
What if Brian Cushing becomes the other linebacker?
Hey, he looks like he could still play.
Yeah.
Coming up next, the hits are lit. Where the draft starts, where to keep an eye on, and it could impact the Texans and the Astros. My gosh.
Yeah.
They lost another one. Justin Verlander, can you avoid the sweep next?
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
The hits are lit here on Sports Radio 610.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
We know the draft starts at 7, but sometimes when the draft starts, it doesn't actually start. In other words, more times than not, we know who the top pick is going to be. Last year, we knew it was Bryce Young. The Texans had the number 2 pick. The Texans were basically in control of the draft. This year, we know Caleb Williams is going to be the first name called. We anticipate Jaden Daniels is going to be the second name called, although keep a close eye on that. And then when the Patriots pick, that's when the draft actually starts. Here's Cameron Wolf, NFL Network, talking about what we could see when the draft actually starts.
If the draft was starting today, they would stay at 3 and make a pick. But the draft still has 24 hours of that chaos we love. And Gerard Bale told me in his office today, a sign of the change of times with the Patriots, that if that offer comes when they are on the clock, then they would have to heavily consider it. And he refers to that offer as a bag. He said it's not just going to be a pick in the teens and a pick next year. He said it's going to have to be something that is franchise changing, because he knows they have to get this draft right, particularly at quarterback. And Mayo also told me they have narrowed down their list from their top pick to about 6 prospects they would love to choose from.
Mm. I love the change in what's going on in New England. You got the coach of the Patriots now talking to reporters in his office ahead
I got
of the draft,
6 guys.
And calling, referring to offers as a bag.
Yeah.
When was the last time you think Bill Belichick referred to a draft haul as a bag?
That would be never.
That would be never.
Grocery store.
Yeah, I like the change over there.
Earlier, Mayo said that they were going to take a quarterback earlier in the offseason. I just wonder, like, if you're sitting at the mercy of being outside of 3, like, let's say the Texans never took C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting, you know, on the back end of the top 10 or something like that. Like, what are you saying? Are you saying they got to give up the house for Drake May? Are you saying, well, maybe J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix? Are you saying, hey, let's just not try to force it and not draft a quarterback just to draft a quarterback? Like, what the heck are you saying in that situation?
Is it y'all tell me, is it in conflict for me to say that I would not give up a haul or trade up really for any of the quarterbacks in this draft that are not Caleb Williams? So I would not give up a haul to go up and draft Drake May, but I would absolutely draft Drake May if I had the number three pick. Is that in conflict? That's how I feel about it.
No, you're just not in love with a lot of these guys.
But he does make enough sense to me for the Patriots at that spot. I'm kind of weirded out by what's happened with Drake May, whereas a year ago and even just a few months ago, it seemed like he was a consensus
maybe number one. He was last year.
He was like the hipster number one.
Yeah, and now it's like, will the Patriots even draft him at number three after having to get rid of Mac Jones? They got a new coach, don't have a quarterback. Like, it's odd what's happened to him, honestly.
For as many quarterbacks as they're talking about going in the first round, ain't one of them that really does it for me. I mean, and I like Jaden Daniels, and
what about Caleb?
I like Caleb, and I like Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, Caleb's pretty good.
The thing I heard, well, he's awesome, but I also heard about, I saw this yesterday on Caleb Williams. Like, he's the first Gen Z quarterback that has ever going to be there. It's the first time you're ever going to toss the keys to your franchise to a Gen Z quarterback. And there's something to that.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
there's something to that.
There is. And I mean, you got Wendy's commercials, Dr. Pepper, all that, like NIL. It is the first.
He epitomizes it, but is he the first? I mean, the two quarterbacks that went 1-2 last year are Gen Z quarterbacks.
They didn't seem to have as many of the characteristics.
Oh, I get it. I get it. But
Gen Z.
Yeah. Okay. He does have the Gen Z
vibe.
Or as someone the face put it. Of it.
And there is something to that. I mean, Gen Z is a different.
I hear y'all. We're some old ass dudes right now talking like this, man. Because
it's different, though. It's a different mindset.
Oh, man, 100%. The fingernail painting and all of that, like, this, it's way beyond my understanding and comprehension.
Let's not act like all Gen Z's painting their nails.
That's what I'm getting at.
But he epitomizes that.
Yeah.
Like, he epitomizes
not the nails, though.
What it is.
Like CJ Stroud, I made fun of him for, he was doing one of those live streams with, or a podcast with Micah Parsons, and he didn't know who Ricky Waters was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was like, you child.
Ricky Waters.
He was like, I'm sorry, who's that?
He thought he was talking about Ricky Williams.
Yeah. So I was like, yo, that's a Gen Z quarterback. Because how dare you?
But he's old school. He's more
at heart.
At heart.
But that was sober.
An old soul.
He was like, I'm sorry, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
Well, Micah Parsons was upset, I think, because he's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they were doing. Yeah. They were like,
who's from Pennsylvania and who's from Texas?
Or California.
So they were doing the back and forth thing. But it is going to be wild. Tomorrow, three picks. Today, none. A lot of speculation that Nick Caserio might like to get into that first round. Astros. They lose another one. Four runs in the first, and you're fighting an uphill battle. They go 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. They strand 10. They're now 7-18 on the season. Spencer Arrighetti gets rocked. Justin Verlander on the bump this afternoon, looking to avoid the sweep. I think this is the best way to put the Astros in perspective as to where they are in the uphill battle they have ahead of them. Because we can say it's early. That's fine. Let's just do that. 25 games. Is it fair to assume that winning the division is going to require 90 wins? Kind of like last year. Is 90 wins a good range to guess? Because that was what...
I would guess.
Yeah, 90 wins won the division last year.
Yeah.
And more than likely, you're going to have to win the division to get in the postseason, right? Because all the other divisions have more balanced squads that are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's just pretend that the Astros, they finish the season and they win 90 games. They will have to go for the remainder of the season. This baseball team that we're watching right now, they will have to go 83-54. Yeah. So they will have to play like to get to the 90 wins.
Hell no.
They will have to go
29 games over 500.
Yes,
and they're not even they don't even resemble a 500 baseball team. They're a losing squad.
They will
squad.
Have to go 83, and they will have to play 29 game over 500 baseball in order to get to the 90 wins, if we're looking at 90 wins as what gets you into the
dance. I was telling you guys during the break, like, you have to start in baby steps. Let's get a win streak going. Right now, this team is incapable, like incapable of winning four games in a row. They don't have the pitching, the starting pitch. I mean, look who they've trotted out there the last 3 days. Giving up, what, 3, 5, and 4 runs in consecutive games in the first inning. But they are incapable of winning four games in a row.
Dude, I was just on here yesterday talking about how I've recalibrated the season entirely to just get back to 500. Yeah. Get back to 500. And then hearing you say that made me think about how hard that actually is.
Just trying to get a four-game win, they can't do it.
You can't string along a win streak of really any kind.
Yeah.
Four games is even – three games would even be
– two out of three is hard.
Yeah. No. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you said four. I'm like, whoa. I felt overwhelmed by you saying four.
They used to be able to do four games, you know, in their sleep.
They're 2-5-1, like in series right now. You're talking about even winning a series. Like, that's 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, whatever. They're 2-5-1 right now.
Yeah.
Like, more times than not, you put yourself in position in baseball where – if you go on the road and you split, good. I mean, that's good. You go 2-2, okay. They're 2-5-1 in series right now.
Well, it's also like when you face a team or when you go into a series, there is basically not a team where you're like, oh yeah, I like the Astros over them. This is what I was doing on Friday.
Mexico, baby.
Yeah, and that's like, and it's like literally the only one, and then you playing them in Mexico.
No.
So it's like, oh, it's almost like a wild card factor there. Yeah. Like almost anything could happen.
Yeah.
But this is where I was at on Friday, going into the National Series. I was like, it used to be a day. It used to be a time where I'm like, all right, this is a get right series. Yeah. The Astros are good.
Yeah.
They'll take care of business on the road against the Nationals. I liked the fact that Verlander was coming back, but I didn't feel good about that series. Oh, and then you see what happened.
I don't want to give them an excuse, but they're also in the territory where it kind of means a little bit more to the other squad if they beat you. They still want to beat your ass. It's not like you're going to go play a random game in August where baseball players are just coasting and chilling. I think they kind of crank it up a notch when they see that Astros uniform. So it's even more of an uphill battle than it would be if that were not the case.
Oh, yeah. They're still relishing it.
Yeah, you're still getting the other team's best shot, even though you yourself aren't your best anymore.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, that's for sure happening.
So, I got some news for you. Y'all might like this.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Javier played catch yesterday, according to Chandler Rome.
Oh,
cool.
He played catch.
Let's go, man.
I'll tell you this. These Astros pitchers.
By the way, Fromber threw a 40-pitch bullpen, too.
These Astros pitchers.
Oh, okay. Let's go.
They are the most.
We back.
Dude.
We bike.
They are the most catch playingest.
Oh, yeah.
Bullpen throwingest.
Flat ground throwingest.
Long tossingest.
Threw 40 pitches from flat ground.
My goodness.
Where my man Lance at?
Yeah, cool.
He might be throwing off a mound in a few days.
Yeah. Oh, man. World Series, baby.
Like, maybe I'm just too close to it, but does any MLB franchise get as many incremental pitching updates as we do?
I think the biggest joke in all this joke of a season so far is that people think the pitchers that are injured are going to be
saviors.
The answer.
Saviors.
They're not.
You'll be lucky if really one or two of them. You know what I mean?
Even just one. Yeah. And I'm talking in addition to Verlander. Come on, man.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you think Fromber's arm is going to get better?
Yeah. Elbow soreness terrifies me.
Yes, Javier. Do you think it's going to get better?
At what point do you?
Urquidy. You think it's going to get better?
No, I don't.
No, that's the biggest joke of it all, man. Just injuries, man. Injuries got us.
It's what's going to happen.
They're not going to fix anything.
If you're lucky,
yes.
Luis Garcia comes back healthy.
Oh, come on,
Lance. No. But listen, listen to the end of this.
Figgy.
If you're lucky, those guys come back, and all you do is tread water because something else happens with one of them other guys.
But you're
like
so
you just
behind
mentioned.
Now. Like, you're so behind now
early.
To where you're like,
oh, dude. It's early.
Even if these guys were at their best, you're talking, if you're getting to 90, you got to go 29 games over 500.
It's early.
Landry.
It's early, man.
Landry.
It is.
It ain't even made
it
yet.
It is at the moment.
It's early.
I don't mean to patronize you, Landry, but I think it's cute that you're even talking about it like this talking about them in this sort of light anymore.
No.
They are, as Lopez eloquently stated at the beginning of the week, done.
They're done.
Yeah, and I mean, in 2.5 weeks, they'll be 1-4 through the season. So I don't know.
I don't know what got into Figgy's. All I want to know.
The early.
What I want to find out.
Nah, I mean, there are a few things that annoy Figgy more than a catch update. He played catch yesterday.
Yeah. He played catch.
They are the kings of the he played catch update.
Also with playing catch. I don't want to hear nothing else about playing catch either, because Isn't that how Fromber – wasn't Fromber playing catch when he hurt his elbow?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I don't want to hear nothing else about playing catch, okay? All right, just save it.
Playing catch,
keep
man.
Keep it. Maybe don't play catch.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
I don't know.
It's just kind of how it goes.
Go out there and play. Pitch.
Lopez has a called shot. We've been talking about a lot of positions, offense, defense, what the Texans need, what Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans wants. John Lopez, he's going to call his shot. He thinks there's a position that will be selected by the Houston Texans, and it may or may not surprise you. Draft day continues next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.